The Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descending from heaven came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has been raised from the dead, and indeed he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. This is my message for you.'" So the women left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to tell the disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came to him, took hold of his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers and sisters to go to Galilee. There they will see me." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you in the name of Jesus. Amen. There's a great moment in the film Spectre of the James Bond franchise, and I put an asterisk by this. This is in no way saying that James Bond is an allegory or metaphor for Jesus or Christianity. This is just a really great movie scene. Anyway, in Spectre, Bond has been captured, and he's sitting in a chair with his hands tied behind his back, and he's being threatened by the villain, played by Javier Bardem, and there's this exchange back and forth, and he says in kind of a sly way, "Everyone needs a hobby. What's yours, Mr. Bond?" And without missing a beat, he responds, "Resurrection." And while that movie doesn't have, again, overall Christian themes, I thought that moment, that idea of a hobby being resurrection, was quite clever and quite vocational for we who follow Jesus. It's not just something that we celebrate in the past 2,000 years ago. Resurrection is ongoing. That's the story that we have, and it's the story that we remember and repeat this morning. But it didn't always seem that way. In the initial moments, it takes a little bit for this resurrection thing to get off the ground. It starts with the women who have not disappeared from the narrative. They're the ones that steadfastly stand beside Jesus on his way from Galilee all the way down to Jerusalem. It's the women who stand by the cross after the disciples had scattered in the darkness at Gethsemane. It is the women who watch as Jesus breathes his last, his body taken down and given to Joseph of Arimathea. It's the women who watch from a distance as Joseph lays Jesus' body in a tomb. And it's the women who are still dealing with all of the sadness and trauma and grief and everything that has rolled into those days, who go to the tomb early that first Easter morning, and they're going to anoint Jesus' body. They're sticking with ritual and tradition because sometimes that's the only thing we can cling to when the world has fallen apart. And it's interesting to me in Matthew's gospel just how they plan to do this, because Matthew gives us a detail that none of the other gospel writers give us. Out of fear, the religious leaders, that small group in Jerusalem who are responsible for Jesus' arrest and trial, that small group are fearful that the crowd is still going to rise up against them. The disciples are going to steal the body and have it disappeared, and therefore Jesus will somehow have risen again like he said. So they go to Pilate, who gives them a detachment of soldiers, and he says, "Go and seal the tomb." While that may seem like a minor detail to us, what Pilate really means, or rather what Matthew is telling us, is that they put the official seal of Pilate on the tomb in a banner of wax with Pilate's stamp on it. Literally, the emperor's word that Jesus cannot rise from the dead. Resurrection against the law. So, I have no idea if the women had calculated how to roll the stone away, but the angels and the earthquake took care of it. And then they're struck. And the first greeting of the angel, "Do not be afraid," which I imagine takes a moment to set in. Again, the trauma, the grief, everything that had traveled with the women to the tomb, thinking of what they're going to do, how they're going to respond to Jesus' body, and all of a sudden, he's not there. The stone rolled away, and a message that it's not over. Go and tell his disciples that he's gone ahead of you to Galilee. He's crucified, but he's not here. And on their way back to tell those disciples, Jesus himself meets them on the way and says the same thing. "Go and tell the disciples that I go back to Galilee. There you will see me." And just like in Mark's gospel, this is a very clever clue from Matthew to go back to the beginning of the story. We jump past the birth narrative and the wise men and Herod's violence, and we get to John in the wilderness baptizing, and Jesus is baptized, and he goes through his testing in the wilderness, and then lo and behold, Galilee. After his sojourn in the wilderness, Jesus comes back preaching the kingdom of God, but he does something distinctly different from John and those who had come before in the prophetic lineage. No longer is the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, drawing near. Jesus says, "It's here. It is unfolding before you." And with that lens, we go back through the story that Matthew is telling, and we see these snippets of new life, not just at the tomb, but sprinkled throughout the gospel. Invitations to see resurrection unfolding in the world around us. The early church, the movement after Jesus' ascension, would learn to take up resurrection as a hobby, which is what the book of Acts talks about, raising folks to new life. And this is not always from a state of dead, but this is also metaphorically for all of the little deaths that we suffer in this world, broken relationships, separation, the damage we've done to creation, all of it wrapped up, all of it can be redeemed. With God, new life is always possible. And so we get to one of those moments of resurrection from our first reading in Acts chapter 10, where Peter, who has staunchly defended this movement, a Jewish teacher, extending what God has been up to and defending that movement against naysayers and others who would say there's no need to believe in that nonsense. And then the Gentiles on the outside complicating the puzzle. Peter experiences resurrection himself when he stands in the house of Cornelius, a Gentile and a centurion. He himself recognizes the Holy Spirit at work, and he can no longer deny that God has expanded the boundaries much further than he could have ever imagined. Sometimes resurrection looks like a Jewish disciple of Jesus welcoming Gentiles to the table and breaking bread with them, and then having to march back to Jerusalem and explain that to the rest of the disciples who still haven't caught up. Sometimes resurrection looks like Paul bouncing his way around the Mediterranean, starting these little house churches, bringing folks who are curious about what is going on, about just who this Jesus is. And sometimes resurrection looks like economic solidarity in those house churches, specifically in Corinth, where Paul's letter to the church in Corinth alludes to a stratification of folks with resources, some who have a lot and some who don't have very much at all. And for that group, resurrection looks like the mighty sitting at the table with the lowly and sharing the gifts equitably. Let's fast forward a little bit further in the church's history. Sometimes resurrection looks like a priest wrestling with his own faith and with the institution that he served, not trying to change it, not trying to do anything other than point out contradictions and saying selling forgiveness is antithetical to the gospel. Not meaning to start a new movement, Luther changed things, and he resurrected our ability to approach scripture and worship in a way that had been held captive for centuries. Or fast forward a little bit further, maybe not so much inside the church, but what happens outside of this movement? Where might we encounter resurrection in our lives? After all, Jesus says, go back to Galilee, which could mean anywhere. Galilee is a backwater community. It is not even on the map for some folks who hold power in Jerusalem. Certainly nothing good could have come from there, and yet it is exactly to the Galilees of this world that Jesus calls us. And it's in the Galilees of this world where resurrection continues to happen. Sometimes resurrection looks like life in a place where it's thought life would never bloom again. After the eruption of Mount St. Helens in 1989, tens of thousands of acres were laid to waste by that violent eruption, thousands of trees down, barren landscapes. It looked as if nothing could ever grow again. But some scientists thought that's just not the way things are. And so instead of putting more mechanical processes in, they got gophers. And they literally airlifted communities of gophers into the mountain slopes and valleys around Mount St. Helens, where it was desolate. Sometimes resurrection looks like gophers digging through the ash and bringing a landscape back to life. Within months of the gophers' arrival, they found over 40,000 species of plants and fungi living in those areas. Sometimes resurrection comes through gophers. Or what about ribbons and a banner on a fence? Sometimes resurrection comes on a Friday afternoon when you're filming shots for the media to tell the story of our prayer fence, the banner that's been here since late 2023, an idea that Jerry and Crystal Balthrop brought to us from St. Matthew's Lutheran in Charleston, South Carolina, who had a lot of fence on their real estate in downtown Charleston. And so for 2.5 years, we've had that banner on 8th Avenue, and for 2.5 years, it collected ribbons in the thousands. Earlier this year, some of the other churches of the Downtown Church Collective says, we want to do that too. We want to expand the reach. And so we had a group that was staying with us from James Madison University who were here working with Project Cure, cut the ribbons off, and we saved them, but prepare the fence for something new, and we put up a new banner with the other downtown churches. And I was out there telling the story to folks on Friday, and a family from Portland, Oregon just happened to walk by. They were on vacation, just happened to be on that corner at the right time, and we got to talking about family. They had visited Gatlinburg for a birthday, had went to Dollywood, had come to Nashville for a little bit of a layover, and just happened to bump into one another. Sometimes resurrection looks like a nurse practitioner tying a ribbon onto a fence as a prayer for all of those who are in the field of nursing, for all of those who are caretakers. And it may seem like such a small moment, but it echoes and ripples and has an impact far beyond what we could ever imagine. Sometimes resurrection looks like altering the urban landscape. A group of folks recognizing that some of the benches that used to populate the downtown urban core of Nashville had disappeared as the city adjusted and changed. And there was no longer a place for folks to sit. And so they got together in the parking lot of Memorial Lutheran Church, now Riverside Commons, another resurrection story, by the way. They got together in that parking lot and they started building benches and painting them and populating them, or rather repopulating them around the city, saying, we have a different vision of what hospitality looks like in Nashville. And sometimes resurrection means sitting down with leaders of the city and saying, this is what we want to be. Let's work towards it. So where's resurrection for you in your little plot of Galilee? Resurrection goes far beyond these doors. Though this place is where creativity and inspiration can come, the work of resurrection often unfolds in the ordinary of Galilee, wherever we are on a regular basis. And so I ask, where's resurrection? Where's that hobby unfolding for you? And I don't ask because I doubt that it's happening. I ask because I know that God is out there and God is at work. And sometimes we get so caught up in whatever this world throws at us that it gets really difficult to see those signs of resurrection and new life. Sometimes it takes having our vision adjusted. Sometimes it takes a reinvigoration of our imaginations. But that hobby of resurrection is now ours to participate in. Yes, Jesus was raised on the third day. Yes, he came out of the tomb on that first Easter morning. Yes, he destroyed the power of death for all time. But that reality of a physical death is something we still experience because we're human, not to mention all of the other little deaths that we die from: brokenness, the erosion of relationships. The list goes on and on and on. And as I said earlier, with God, new life is always possible. So I invite you, look for those moments of resurrection. Maybe it's happening in your immediate reality, finding healing for yourself, finding balance in your relationship with who you are, or maybe that extends into family, friends, relationship with creation. The list goes on and on and on. Sometimes it looks like planting pollinator gardens in places where you wouldn't expect them to be. Another sign of resurrection I saw this spring was there was a report out of Mexico that the monarch butterfly population is 64% larger than it was last year at this time. Sometimes resurrection takes folks across a continent planting flowers in hopes that they can support a species on the brink of death. Once you start looking for resurrection, you can't not see it. It's everywhere. And so that's the mission this morning. Those are the marching orders. Go back to Galilee. Let's follow the advice of those first preachers, the women who took the word of resurrection from the tomb to the disciples. Let's listen to their word and go back to Galilee and find that God is already up to something and inviting us to join. Amen.